Chapter 12. Mother Yashoda's bhakti is indescribable. Drona and Dara's receiving Brahma's boon of having special parental love for Krishna is similar to Krishna's receiving the boon from Shankar to have Samba as his son. At that time in Dwarka, Krishna performed austerities for instructing people by worshipping Shankar, material wealth can be obtained. In reality, no one can be Krishna's son. Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shamba, they are all Bhagavan's plenary portions, but they appeared in the forms of his sons. Yashoda and Nanda Baba are the eternal parents of Krishna, but for showing that some austerities are necessary to attain praying for Krishna, the boon was given to Drona and Dara. All of the Vaikuntha incarnations are plenary portions of Narayan, and in a similar way, Drona and Dara, Vasudeva and Devaki, Dasaratha and Kushalya, and Kasyapa and Aditi are all expansions of Nanda and Yashoda. Still, amongst all of the eternal associates of Bhagavan, the eternal associates of Krishna are the best. Nanda Swa Putram Adaya Prosyagata Udaradi Murdyane Avagraya Paramam Murdam Labhe Kurudvaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.43 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.128. Translation. When the magnanimous Nanda returned from Mathura, he took his own son Sri Krishna on his lap and experienced immense pleasure by repeatedly smelling his head. Previously, Nanda Baba was very detached from worldly life, but after Krishna was born, he became spellbound in attachment for Krishna. Before Krishna's birth, Nanda Baba never had any need to go to Kamsa's kingdom. But after his birth, some money was necessary for his sustenance, and for this reason, Nanda went to Mathura. There he spoke to Vasudeva, who told him, "Please, you must return to Gokul immediately. The demons will now create a disturbance in all directions. Kamsa is determined to see that all children born within the last 10 days are killed. Therefore, please return quickly." As Nanda was returning to Gokul, he saw the massive corpse of Putana beside the road, and being frightened for Krishna's welfare, he hurried home. Arriving there and seeing that Krishna was all right, it was as if his very life had returned to his body. His previous feelings of detachment could not remain. Taking Krishna on his lap, magnanimous Nanda Maharaj time and again smelled his son's head, saying, "Bhagavan has saved you from great danger." Then he heard from his brother Upananda and others how the Rakshasi Putana took Krishna on her lap and forcibly put her breast in his mouth. She had applied poison to her breast, so how could Krishna possibly have been saved? Next, she flew up into the sky because Krishna had latched onto her and would not let go, and she was thinking that if she could fly to where Kamsa was, Kamsa would separate Krishna from her. She thought that in 1 minute only she could arrive there. But instead, Krishna stuck her breast with such force that he not only drank her poisoned breast milk, but sucked out her very life. Hearing how Krishna was saved from the hands of death, Nanda's tears soaked Krishna's body. In this verse, the word Svaputra, which means that Krishna was Nanda's own son, and also the word Prasyagata, which means that Nanda was not the actual father of Krishna, but the one who nurtured him. Most people consider that Nanda Maharaj was Krishna's Prasyagata, and that his real parents were Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudeva brought Krishna to Gokul, and there Nanda raised him. But Nanda Baba trusted what he saw with his own eyes, that Krishna had taken birth from the womb of Yashoda in his own home. There was no doubt in his mind. But Vasudeva also had no doubt that Krishna was his son. But if Krishna had taken birth in Nanda's home, then how could he have had loving affairs with the girls there, who are the daughters of Nanda's brothers, and therefore would have been Krishna's cousins? How would this have been possible? The gopis are actually his Ladini Shakti, but he first appeared in Mathura to prevent the people of this world from saying, "Oh, he is performing rasa with his own cousins." So it is said that Krishna is really the son of Vasudeva. But this verse refers to Krishna as Nanda's Swaputra, his own son. What could be greater evidence than this? Nanda Swaputram Adaya Prasyagata Udaradi. With natural, simple-hearted feelings of great fatherly affection, Nanda took his own son on his lap and nurtured him. Here the meaning of Prasyagata is nurtured. After the killing of Kamsa, Nanda remained waiting in his Mathura residence and was feeling very unhappy. He was thinking, "More than 24 hours have passed since Kamsa was killed, and still neither Vasudeva nor anyone else such as Ugrasen or Akrura has brought me any news. Krishna and Balaram themselves have also not come. Because they are mere children, that is all right. But why haven't any of the others come? I have heard that people are saying that they are actually the sons of Vasudeva." Because no one went to him with any news, Nandababu was crying in solitude, thinking, "What will I do? Should I go to Vasudeva's palace to meet him, or what should I do?" Soon after dark, Krishna and Baladeva came alone to him. They saw that their father was very sad, with his head hanging down in his hands. Sitting on his lap and lifting up his father's chin, Krishna said, "Father, why are you sitting like this, alone and silent?" Looking at Baladeva, Nanda said, "My son, why haven't you come earlier?" Baladeva replied, "Father, a very strange thing is happening. Many people are saying that we are actually the sons of Vasudeva, but I don't accept this. Even if we are the sons of Vasudeva, we don't know any other father besides you. If for any reason a mother and father renounce a son, then those who raise him are actually his mother and father. There are many different kinds of fathers: the one who begets you, the one who raises you, the king, the guru, the father-in-law, and the family priest. But amongst them, the best is he who raises and protects you. And therefore I am your son only, and I don't know of any other father beside you. I don't want to remain here in Mathura for even one more second. I want to immediately accompany you and Krishna back to Braj." Nanda Baba said, "My son, don't speak like this. Hearing this, my younger brother Vasudeva will die, and Devaki will also die." Nanda Baba said this because he knew that they actually would die, and therefore he was more magnanimous than Vasudeva and Devaki, who didn't care as much about the Brajavasis' feelings while Krishna stayed with them in Mathura. He said to Baladeva, "Six of their sons were killed, and only with great difficulty were they able to save both of you. If you hadn't been brought to Gokul, you would have also been slain. Therefore, we are forever indebted to Vasudeva. So you remain here. I will take Krishna and return to Gokul." Baladeva replied, "I will not be without Krishna for even a second. I consider you to be my only father and Krishna to be my only brother." Then Nanda Baba looked at Krishna. Because in his childhood Krishna had given Nanda so much good advice, he asked him, "What should I do?" Krishna replied, "Father, may I speak?" Nanda Baba said, "Yes, please do." Krishna said, "In my opinion, it would not be auspicious for Baladeva Prabhu to go to Braj, leaving Vasudeva and Mother Devaki in such a difficult situation. And if I go, then he must go also. Therefore, if you give us permission, we will stay here for a few days and then later we will both return together. What Krishna was saying was having some influence on Nanda Baba, but Nanda could only remain silent. Krishna continued, I am prepared to go with you now, but then everyone will say, Nanda Baba is very cruel. Even after all of Vasudeva and Devaki's children died, he took both Krishna and Balaram away from them and returned to Gokul, leaving them to die also. So please don't do this. Kansa has now been killed, and we just need a few more days to complete our work here by killing all the remaining demons. You please return home. Concerning this point, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a person will stay with whomever he receives the most affection from, whoever they are. Each and every jiva, even a dog, is hungry for love. It is true that Krishna could not receive the prema of Braj anywhere else. He was not able to obtain even a fraction of the love which Yashoda and Nanda had given him in either Dwarka or Mathura. And the prema which the gopis had for him was so pure that he could not find anything like it anywhere else in the entire universe. So giving up that prema, he went to Mathura. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we don't have any faith in that. People may say that he left Braj and went to Mathura, but that cannot be so. He remained in Braj in an unmanifest form. No one could see him, but he was there. When Akrura took Krishna and Baladev on the ox cart to Mathura, it was actually their expansions in the mode of Aishwarya, as the sons of Devaki and Rohini that went to Mathura. They themselves remained in Braj in their original forms, but no one knew of it. How was this possible? By the Yogamaya Shakti, which makes the impossible possible. Therefore Krishna always remains in Vrindavan. This is the special conception given by our Goswamis. If Krishna was able to actually leave Braj, then it would mean that the residents there didn't love him the most, and that Krishna didn't love them the most, and neither of these ideas are possible. Therefore, he never leaves Vrindavan. What happened next? Krishna began living in Mathura, and all of the members of the Yadu dynasty returned. Due to fear of Kansa's atrocities, they had fled, but after Kansa's death, they returned to Mathura and began living there again with great happiness. Meanwhile, Asti and Prapti, the daughters of Jarasandha, who had married Kansa, approached their father bewailing, "Your son-in-law was faultless. They threw him on the ground and killed him, even though he did not fight back." Becoming very angry, Jarasandha attacked Mathura 17 times with very large armies. Krishna was thinking, should I return to Braj now? But he was unable to go, because Vasudeva saw that Krishna had not been properly educated. He knew only how to take cows out for grazing. So first he wanted to give Krishna the sanskar of the sacred thread, and for this he called Gargaracharya to his home. Everyone, whether local or from distant places, was invited to the ceremony, but Brajbasis like Nanda and his brother Upananda were intentionally not invited. Taking advice from senior members of the dynasty like Uddhava and Akrura, Vasudeva and Devaki had decided before in the assembly of Ugrasen that if the residents of Braj are invited here for the ceremony, then the Bhav of Braj will be stimulated inside Krishna, and he will certainly desire to return to Braj with them. If that bhav awakens inside him, none of us will be able to check it, and therefore it is better not to invite them. For the ceremony, Krishna had his head shaved, leaving only a sika. Wearing wooden sandals and taking a staff, he assumed the full dress of a brahmachari. Then Garga Muni gave him the Gayatri Mantra and the sacred thread, and putting the cloth for begging alms around his neck, said, "My dear son, now beg some alms." Previously in Braj, Yasoda had told Krishna, "When you receive the sacred thread, we will fill your begging cloth with jewels." Now Krishna remembered that occasion, and in that great assembly, he anxiously began looking in all directions. "Where is my mother?" At the ceremony, Devaki was fully decorated in her best attire, sitting in the front to give Krishna alms. And Krishna was anxiously looking at her. "Where is my mother? Where is my mother?" But not seeing her, acute remembrance of Yashoda came to him, and he thought, "My mother, somewhere in Nandabhavan, will be standing alone by the door. Sometimes she will be looking inside the house, and sometimes she will be looking outside. She will be crying, not knowing where I am, and wondering, what is my son doing at this moment? And here I am, accepting this sacred thread amidst a joyous celebration." Crying out, "Mother, mother," Krishna fell to the ground unconscious. All of the excitement of the occasion and the giving and taking of alms immediately stopped, and everyone ran to Krishna and lifted him up. Witnessing this spectacle, the members of the Yadu dynasty said, "Just see how strong his attachment is to Braj. He should be sent far away for his education. He should be sent to Ujjain, and there he can start strictly following his vows and the instructions of his guru. He will stay there as long as the guru sees fit, and then upon returning here, his nature will have changed, and he will understand that he is really the son of Vasudev." So they sent him there. Somehow, the Brajabasis came to know of all this and said, "Considering him to be their own son, they have given him the sacred thread. Forcibly, they have made him a Kshatriya through the sacred thread ceremony, and they have cruelly sent him to Ujjain to receive his education from Sandipani Muni." Wearing horizontal markings on his forehead, Sandipani Muni is a Brahmavad worshipper of Sankar. Why have they sent Krishna to him? Yogamaya had made the arrangement that Krishna be sent to Sandipani Muni, because if he had been sent to a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava would have recognized him. Therefore, he was sent to a devotee of Shiva, who would not recognize him, and his real identity would not be revealed. Krishna was sent to Ujjain, and in 64 days he learned 64 arts. When he returned from there, he sent Uddhava to Braj. After speaking with Uddhava, one of the gopis began speaking to a bee, considering it to be as a messenger from Krishna. "Api bata madhu puryam arya putro dunaste samarati sa pitri gehan somya badums cha gopan kva chid api sa kata na kin kinharinam grinite pujam aguru sugandam murdyenya ashtyate kada nu." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.21. Now that Krishna has completed his studies in the ashram of Sandipani Muni, he will be coming here. Certainly, he won't be able to stay in Mathura. Is he on the road coming here right now? He told me over 2 months ago that he will be returning the day after tomorrow, but still he has not come. Does he ever remember any of us any time? Does he remember us as those who string wonderful flower garlands for him? Does he remember? Oh, the gopi's beauty defeats that of even the most beautiful women in the world. Does he ever remember us in that way? Or does he remember us even in a derogatory manner? Oh yes, those gopis are foolish girls who work with milk products and don't know anything. When he hears a song or sees some dancing, does he remember us and the sentiments we shared, the prema of his insignificant dasis? When will he return and make us fearless by placing his agur-scented hands on our heads and putting his long arms around our necks as he did during the Ras Lila. Similarly, Nanda Baba and all the residents of Braj had extremely strong feelings for Krishna from his very childhood. He didn't send them any news from Mathura or Dwarka. In the end, when it was the appropriate time for Surya Puja at Kurukshetra after the war there, without being called, Nanda Baba, Yashoda, the gopis, and all the residents of Braj went there at last to meet him again. In the verse we are discussing, it says Swaputram. The word Swa, meaning one's own, is used because otherwise the words Putra could mean that Krishna was the adopted son of Nanda. So this verse says, taking his own son, not taking the son of Vasudev. He repeatedly embraced and kissed him. And because of his great affection for Krishna, Nanda experienced Paramam, that supreme Ananda, which even Vasudev never felt. Or another meaning of Paramam Mudam can be that Nanda felt that Ananda, which even Mahalakshmi, who is worshipable by all devotees, could never attain. Udara D. Nanda Baba was very generous and magnanimous. On the day of Krishna's birth festival, he gave cows, jewels, cloth, and everything he had in charity to the Brahmanas. Udara can also mean greatly intelligent. If he hadn't been highly intelligent, he wouldn't have asked Brahma only for the boon of having that most elevated Vatsalya prema for Bhagavan. He didn't ask for an ordinary son, nor did he even ask to have Bhagavan as his son, but he asked only for Bhagavad Bhakti. This is the proper yearning, begging for bhakti, for prema. The acharyas in our sampradaya don't consider that obtaining Krishna is the ultimate objective. They consider that obtaining Krishna prema is the ultimate objective, especially the Krishna prema of the Brijabasis, and within that, especially the prema of the gopis, and within that, the prema for Radha, who has been emphasized to have prema for Krishna as Radha Ballabha. Nanda begged only for Bhagavad Bhakti, not for having a son. Vasudev prayed, "We desire a son like you," but Nanda prayed, "We desire to have Vatsalya prema for you." When Brahma had offered the boon to Drona and Dara, Drona said, "Please first ask my wife what she desires." Dara replied, "When Parabrahm himself takes birth in this world and performs his wonderful human-like pastimes, we desire to have Parama Bhakti for him. Both a mother and father will love their son, but the mother will love him more. The mother actually nurtures the child, while the father provides all the necessities such as clothing and food. If during the night the father's sleep is broken by the child's crying, for even one moment, he may desire to even put the child outside the house. But the mother will stay awake all night if necessary, feeding the child milk, comforting him, and lulling him back to sleep. The mother is ready to face any hardship, and therefore she looks after the child in a way which is not possible for the father." Nanda once went to Mathura to ask Vasudev concerning the taxes which had to be given to Kamsa, and one full day elapsed before he returned to Braj. But Yashoda couldn't tolerate being away from Krishna for even a moment, and therefore Yashoda's affection for Krishna is greater than that of Nanda. When Uddhava visited Braj, Nanda Baba was able to converse with him a little, but Yashoda could not. She couldn't possibly have spoken in her condition. She was simply lying on the ground nearby and bitterly weeping. When Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves, Krishna assumed all of their forms for 1 year and drank the milk of the motherly gopis and cows. Describing the glories of those motherly gopis and cows is very difficult, so what to speak of describing the glories of Yashoda? With great prem, she fed Krishna milk for the entire time he was residing in Vrindavan, and her glories are unlimited and unfathomable. If someone attains even a small particle of bhakti for Krishna, then they feel that their lives have become completely fulfilled. So what to speak of Yashoda? I don't know if we even have the courage to attempt to describe her bhakti. After Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, Mother Yashoda stopped doing all housework. The kitchen remained unclean. All the pots were upside down, and there were cobwebs everywhere. Who would she cook for? When Krishna was present, with great delight she would cook for him. But she felt that with Krishna gone, there was no one to cook for. She began displaying the characteristics of someone who is approaching old age. And on one very hot afternoon, when she was feeling particularly unhappy, remembrance of so many of Krishna's childhood pastimes began coming to her, and she was at once submerged in bhava. Inside the house were Krishna's clothing and many of his toys, like toy cows and tiny bamboo flutes. She collected all of these in a cloth sack and, leaving the house, began to walk away. Then one of her friends who lived nearby approached her and said, "Sakhi, where are you going?" Seeing that she was going somewhere, others gathered around her and asked her, "Mother, where are you going?" Previously, she was unable to even speak. Whenever she would desire to speak, she would just become choked up with emotion and would only cry. But now she said, "I am going to wherever my Kanaya is." "What?" they replied. "Where is your Kanaya? This is Nandagram, but he is in Mathura. It is an extremely hot afternoon. The hot sun is blazing down, and the ground will certainly burn your feet. So how will you go there?" "I cannot live without him," she said. "So going to Mathura, then what will you do?" they replied. "I will go there, and arriving in the reception room, I will say, 'I desire to meet Queen Devaki.' And if someone brings me to Devaki, then I will fall at her feet and say, 'I will become your dasi, birth after birth. I will serve your child. He is not my child, and I will cook for you both. I will become your maidservant for all time. Please keep me in your palace, where I will eat only your remnants and always serve you. That is all I desire.'" Saying that, she became overwhelmed with emotion and fell down right there. She had that much love for Bhagavan in the form of her son. The Braja devotees have the highest level of love for Krishna. Their love never comes and goes as the love of this world does. They are all eternal associates of Krishna, and their prem is like a fathomless ocean. On rainy days, even though the rivers swell and flow even stronger towards the ocean itself never swells. And on dry days, it never diminishes. So for the fathomless ocean, swelling and diminishing never occurs. It is the same with the love of these devotees. Nanda and Yashoda's prem for Krishna is always taking newer and newer variegated forms. Thus ends chapter 12 of Bhakti Rasayana.